Thank you for your attention today. My work is nicely following the previous talk because I'm also talking about biosolids, but for a different purpose, looking specifically at biosolids so they can be used appropriately in the Wisconsin Phosphorus Index. So today what I'm going to be talking to you about are the methods and the results from 4 incubation studies using 6 biosolids from southeastern Wisconsin. And the results are going to focus on BRAE-P1 because that's the soil test used in Wisconsin for making soil test recommendations. But then I'm also going to show some correlations with Mayalik-3, water extractable pea, and then 1 pea saturation graph. All right, so this work fits in well with what was identified as top-ranked priority research questions in a paper in 2014. And it highlights the tension between the needing to efficiently use phosphorus as well as preventing runoff phosphorus losses in runoff. So this tension is, you know, of course we need to feed people and maximize yields in order to do that, but we also want to protect water quality. So that involves understanding enough about the amendment that you're applying to make sure that there's enough for the crop to use, but then avoiding over-application of that amendment. And as was highlighted before, when you have too much phosphorus in surface water, that can lead you to eutrophication, which is highlighted here in the toxic algae bloom that happened in Toledo just in 2014 and again in 2015. Now, biosolids are the byproduct of the wastewater treatment process. We know that in order to clean the water, you end up with more, in the case that we're looking at, you end up with more nutrients in the biosolids because you want the nutrients out of the water before you release the effluent. And so it's possible that the processes that the biosolids go through do have implications on their availability in the soil. I'm focusing on the processes for removing phosphorus from the water. So wastewater treatment plants might be using some chemical treatments like iron and aluminum, or they might be using biological treatment, where it's just the microorganisms are removing the phosphorus from the water. Now, there is anaerobic and aerobic digestion. There are other impacts that processing could have on this, and that's something that hopefully we can figure out in the future. So we do know that different biosolids have different pea availabilities, but in order to use information and to be able to appropriately use biosolids in the phosphorus index, we need to quantify those. And so that's what this study is trying to do. In Wisconsin, there's a phosphorus index that tries to estimate the phosphorus losses from farm fields, and so it takes into consideration different management considerations and field properties. The data that I'm collecting is helping to provide information so that way we have appropriate water solubility factors for biosolids to be used in the Wisconsin phosphorus index, as well as appropriate phosphorus buffer capacities. Right now in the phosphorus index in Wisconsin, manures and biosolids are treated the same, given about a 40% water solubility coefficient. And right now, the same phosphorus buffering capacity, 18 pounds of phosphate per acre to raise BRAE-P1 part per million, is used for both manures and for biosolids. It's possible that this is good for some biosolids, but it's probably not true for all biosolids. So the research question really is, do biosolids from different wastewater treatment plants release phosphorus to the soil solution equally, or do some hold on to the pea more tightly? And if so, I mean, we kind of think that that's the case. Well, which ones? Can we categorize by the wastewater treatment process, and how much does soil play into this? So for the methods that myself and my students used was to do incubations. So we had small incubation cups where we put different soils in the cups and applied the biosolids and some fertilizers. So we used 3 different soils, which I'll get to, as well as 7 phosphorus sources. And generally speaking, for each of the incubations, the pea source was used as is. So they weren't dried first. However, they were from the wastewater treatment plant. We applied them to the soil, incubated at 25 degrees Celsius for 11 weeks at about 60% water-filled pore space. This was to simulate about a Wisconsin summer. The incubation cup was randomly assigned in a location in the incubator, even though we don't really expect any temperature or other differences. We had random assignment. And then we did have an NF4 for each treatment. And the phosphorus was applied at a total phosphorus rate of 110 kilograms of total P per hectare. All right, the 3 soils that we used were soils from Wisconsin, the Plainfield sand, a Kewanee silt loam, and then a soil, the Amnicon Kutray complex, that is a little bit finer soil, and it also was chosen because it had a relatively low phosphorus concentration to start, which you can see here in the Bray P levels. It was low at about 19, and the versus the higher Bray P soils, the Plainfield and the Kewanee. So these two soils, no fertilizer recommendations would probably be given, whereas depending on the crop in this soil, there might be a fertilizer recommendation. You can see the pH ranges from about 6 to 7, and our organic matter, you'd expect the sand of lower organic matter, which it does, but the other two soils were in the 3% range. As far as our phosphorus sources, we had 6 different treatment plants that we went to in southeastern Wisconsin, and then we used a fertilizer phosphorus source of ammonium phosphate. These are the locations where we retrieved the biocells, which was a fun road trip to take with my student around southeastern Wisconsin to collect these. And these are some characteristics of the biosolids. You can see the pH levels here, ranging from about 6.3 to about 7.5. We have some different phosphorus concentrations ranging from a low of about 0.42 up to about 3 milligrams per kilogram or milligrams per gram of phosphorus. And then the thing to note here is the types of biosolids. So we've got two liquids, the Brookfield and the Whitewater. The rest were solids. But there's a range of solids, right? They were go from about 14 to 75% solid. The digestions here, we had two aerobic biosolids that went through aerobic digestion, the rest were anaerobic. And then here we had Fort Atkinson was the one biosolid that had only biological treatment. The others had some form of chemical amendment, usually aluminum, but Miguanago was the one that had added ferrous chloride. All right, so the results I'm going to present to you are going to be Bray P1 on the treatment means for each of the soils, and then I will go through some correlations between Bray P1 and some of the other soil test phosphorus tests. So what we have here is the Amnicon Kutray soil complex with Bray P1 on the milligrams per kilogram on the y-axis and the different phosphorus sources here. Note that the control is right here, the second one in, and the fertilizer here is this fifth one in. We did a one-way ANOVA where we looked at treatment differences that were significant at 0.05, but the p-value was, or the overall ANOVA test was less than 0.01, and we looked at the differences between the treatments with a 2P's honestly significant difference. And the things to note here is that the biologically treated biosolids, the Fort Atkinson, was significantly higher than even the fertilizer. The letters down here I forgot to mention are those significant differences, indicating the significant differences. And what we have is the two liquids, the Brookfield and the Whitewater, on the outsides. And in this particular soil, you see there isn't much significant difference between any of the chemically treated biosolids, and actually not even significantly higher than the control in some cases. Now, what I'm going to show you is the results of the other incubations, and so the two-way ANOVA, there was an interaction between soil and P source, so the easiest way to show the results is to show you the Bray P for each of the soils separately, and so the graph from the previous slide is down here. You know, it's the silt loam, the Plainfield sand, and then down here we have the Amnicon Kutray saturated. Turned out that when we did the first incubation, we didn't get the water-filled pore space right. We just used it, we just calculated based on bulk density, but that didn't work, and so we ended up with a saturated system. But I thought this could actually still provide some interesting information, and so when you see Amnicon Kutray saturated, this is a separate incubation on the same soil, but that soil was saturated. And what you can see is that the treatments are along the x-axis in the same order for each graph. I put them here because this is pretty small. And then the treatment that they each received is in the blue color down there. And the things to take away from this really is that if you look at Fort Atkinson, the biologically treated biosolids, it is significantly higher than any of the other treatments, including the fertilizer, in each soil. Then if you look at Delafield, which is, Delafield had chemical treatment of aluminum, and it was the solid, it was the most solid, I think 75% solid, and it was a class A biosolid. In Delafield, it was not significantly different than the control as far as increasing soil test phosphorus in any of the soils. And looking at the other chemically treated biosolids, you can see, you know, there's some differences, but pretty much they're not statistically different from each other. Right, moving on to the correlations, what we have is Malic-3P on the x-axis here and Bray-P1 on the y-axis. And I have the different treatments separated by different signs here. So you can't tell which soil is which in this case. It's all four incubations. But you should note that these stars here are that Ford Atkinson, the biologically treated biosolids. And then the plus and the X are the Whitewater and the Brookfield, which are the liquid biosolids. Another thing to look for as you're looking at these graphs is that the open square is the control, and then the solid square is the fertilizer. So this graph looks hopefully like you'd expect, where it's a good good correlation between Bray and Malic. But now let's look at the Bray-P1 compared to the water extractable P. And what you see here is that it's not really a very good correlation, but you see the biologically treated biosolids up here, the control or the fertilizer falling in here, and the control down here. And you can kind of see that those maybe fall in a line, right? But all of the chemically treated biosolids seem to have a lower water extractable P compared to what their Bray P is showing. So now let's look at this not just at the Amnicon country soil, but for each individual soil. So again, these treatments are going to be the same. The symbols are the same in each graph. We have the silt loam up here, the sand, the unsaturated soil complex, and then the saturated soil complex. And what you can see is that that control and the fertilizer and the biologically treated biosolids seem to be on a line in each graph, but that generally speaking, those chemically amended, chemically treated biosolids to remove the phosphorus method to remove the phosphorus from the wastewater was a chemical method. Those seem to have lower water extractabilities. The thing that I thought was interesting, and I need to investigate more, is that when you look at the incubation where it was saturated, some of those biosolids seem to be falling more on that line, but you still have the two liquids that have lower extractability. So I have to think about more about what that means. And then here's just the one graph that I have on P saturation versus water extractable P. And this is of the soils. This is not of of the biosolids themselves. This is of the soils after the incubation. And this is P saturation using Malic-3 phosphorus over the iron and aluminum. And I don't have much to say about this other than we need to look at what this means. I think it will be interesting to look at maybe doing some calculations like the previous speaker did, looking at the sorption capacity of the soils themselves. But my conclusions are that it seemed that, generally speaking, in all three of the soils, the biologically treated biosolids had the highest, consistently highest phosphorus availability. The biosolids that used chemical treatment, whether it be alum or ferrous chloride, were often similar in P availability. But the Delafield biosolid, the class A that used aluminum phosphorus removal, consistently had the lowest P availability and often was not different than the control. So in the future, I'm hoping that this is a start to the data that will allow biosolids to be treated differently in the Wisconsin Phosphorus Index. We still need to calculate directly the water solubility factor by doing the 1 to 200 water extractable phosphorus in the biosolids. But these incubations have given us a start at the phosphorus buffer capacity. It looks like probably we shouldn't treat them all the same. And so we'll have to do some more statistical analysis. And something else that's exciting that I'm hoping to do is we have an NMR now. And so I'm hoping to start looking at some of the organically bound phosphorus and see what that can tell us. So some thank yous to the students who worked with me, as well as Laura Ward-Good at UW-Madison for a lot of help and guidance as I've collected this data. And of course, the wastewater treatment operators who allowed me to come in. Actually, they wanted me to come back and get more biosolids, right? So that was not a hard thing. As well as some support from my university to do this work. And with that, I'd be happy to take your questions.
Thank you. Time for a quick question.
Yes.
What's the feel of being able to use these materials on farmland? I don't think it's going to take a lot of
Okay, so the question was, what's it seem like for Wisconsin? Are we able to use biosolids on the soil? I believe many of the wastewater treatment plants are applying biosolids to crop fields. So crops that are not going for human consumption, crops that are going to animal consumption. So that is already being done. Actually, when I talked to the wastewater treatment operators, you know, most of them were land applying.